Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Apollo Hospitals Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call hosted by Apollo Hospitals to discuss the financial results for the first quarter of FY25-26, which were announced yesterday. We have with us today the senior management team represented by Mrs. Sunita Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. A. Krishnan, Group CFO, Dr. Madhu Sasidhar, President and CEO of the Hospitals Division, Mr. Madhivanan Balakrishnan, CEO of Apollo HealthCo Limited, Mr. Sriram Iyer, CEO of AHLL, Mr. Sanjeev Gupta, CFO of Apollo HealthCo Limited, and Mr. Obul Reddy, CFO of the Pharmacy Business. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties on slide 2 of the investor presentation shared with all of you earlier. Documents relating to our financial performance have been circulated earlier, and these have also been posted on the corporate website. I would now like to turn the call over to Mrs. Sunita Reddy for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mayank. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking time to join this earnings call. I believe you would have received our earnings documents, which we shared earlier yesterday. We are pleased to start FY26 on a strong footing with a healthy momentum and double-digit growth across all three verticals: healthcare services, Apollo HealthCo, and Apollo Health and Lifestyle. The performance in Q1 reflects consistent execution across key geographies and business segments, resulting in broad-based growth, resilient operating metrics, and improved profitability. Consolidated revenue grew by 15% on a year-on-year basis to 5,842 crores. Within this, healthcare services business has delivered 11% year-on-year revenue growth to rupees 2,935 crores. Revenue from insurance patients saw a year-on-year increase of 13%, while revenue from cash patients grew by 16%. Collectively, these segments accounted for 84% of our inpatient hospital revenue. Surgical revenues grew by 14%. Our focus on specialties, cardiac, oncology, neurosciences, gastro, and orthopedics, which is ONGO, maintained a strong momentum, growing revenues by 13%. Group-wide occupancy stood at 65% in quarter 1 FY26. This quarter, we are announcing a change in our reported metrics. We have traditionally reported average revenue per occupied bed. From this quarter, we propose to discontinue this metric from our report. ARPOB blends pricing, length of stay, and occupancy into one figure. High ARPOB can sometimes reflect higher operational efficiency, like higher acuity mix and better bed turnover rather than pure patient revenue. Growth in ARPOB can result in due to reduction in ALOS or increase in occupancy, which are purely operating metrics and are not related to realization per patient. Unfortunately, health sector stakeholders were sometimes misrepresenting ARPOB growth as price or tariff growth to consumers and the public at large, and implying that hospital inflation is higher than it actually is. This narrative ignored the impact on cost of advancements in technology, therapeutic procedures such as robotics and minimally invasive procedures, which significantly improve patient outcomes. Instead, we draw your attention to average revenue per patient, ARPP, which we believe is a more accurate measure of our realization. It isolates what we are able to realize per patient, irrespective of how long they stayed or how efficiently beds were used. It reflects true pricing power, and case mix trends. More complex cases leads directly to more ARPP. ARPP in Q1 FY26 was 172,282 rupees and grew by 9% through a combination of better institutional tariffs, case mix, and regular tariff increase for inflation. Moving ahead, Apollo HealthCo reported revenues of 2,472 crores, marking a 19% year-on-year growth. Apollo Health and Lifestyle revenues increased by 19% to 435 crores during the quarter. Consolidated EBITDA was at 852 crores, registering an increase of 26% year-on-year. The healthcare services EBITDA was at 718 crores, registering a growth of 15% year-on-year. Healthcare services margins remain robust at 24.5%, a year-on-year increase of 88 basis points. The pharmacy distribution business in Apollo HealthCo recorded an EBITDA of 167 crore, as against 139 crore, higher by 20% year-on-year. 24/7 EBITDA losses were at 73 crore, significantly lower than 116 crores in Q1 FY25. This is a result of conscious work on cost management and closely tracking unit economics in each line of service. As a result, Apollo HealthCo reported an EBITDA of 94 crores in Q1 FY26, up from 23 crores in Q1 FY25. This is an excellent outcome, and we are well on track to achieve break-even in the digital business by the end of this fiscal. Apollo Health and Lifestyle delivered an EBITDA of 40 crores, representing 31% year-on-year growth, with margins improving to 9.3% from 8.4% in Q1 last year. Consolidated PAT was at 433 crore, growing 42% year-on-year. Within healthcare services business, we have delivered an ROCE of 28.4%, with balanced ROCE across our geographies, the metro, Tier 1, and Tier 2. Private label and generics revenues were at 14.6% of total pharmacy revenues. Our digital platform, 24/7, added 1 million new users. The platform GMV was at 682 crores, representing a growth of 23% over the same period last year. We are making good progress on our hospital capacity expansion plans. Our dedicated women's oncology center in Delhi, multi-specialty hospital in Pune, acquired hospital in Bangalore, and our multi-specialty hospital in Kolkata will be operational in FY26, a capacity addition of 700 beds. Plans on other ongoing projects remain on track with phased operationalization in the coming quarters. The strategic reorganization of our omnichannel pharmacy and digital health business is proceeding as planned, and we expect to complete all steps within 18-21 months, a timeline that we had earlier announced. The scheme is expected to conclude by the end of FY27, by which time the business is expected to achieve a run rate of 25,000 crores with revenue with 7% EBITDA margin on a combined basis. Our Q1 FY26 performance underscores the resilience and agility of our integrated healthcare ecosystem. We have continued to advance our strategic agenda, deepening our leadership in core healthcare services, scaling our digital retail platforms, and further enhancing patient outcomes through clinical excellence and innovation. We are well poised to capture emerging opportunities and sustain our growth momentum through FY26. Our unwavering focus remains on delivering long-term value for patients, partners, and shareholders. On that note, I would like to hand over to the moderator and for questions. I have with me Krishnan, our CFO, Dr. Madhu Sasidhar, CEO of the hospital division, Sriram Iyer, CEO of AHLL, Madhivanan, CEO of Apollo HealthCo, Obul Reddy, and Sanjiv from Apollo HealthCo with me. Here to take all of your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and then one. Our first question comes from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question is on 24/7, where we have seen significant improvement in profitability. So as we can see, operating costs excluding ESOPs were down almost 16% quarter to quarter, and I believe that's the key reason for better profitability. But at the same time, when we look at GMV for the platform, it's down around 14%. So how should we look at your GMV growth ahead? And then you mentioned you will be cost neutral by end of this fiscal itself. So just want to have more clarity on how should we look at the GMV for 24/7 platform. And additionally, if you can update on some of the newer services which were added to the platform, like insurance and corporate tie-ups, etc. Thank you.
Can I take the question now?
Yes, Madhi, please take that question.
Okay, and thank you for the question, Damayanti. So, two things. Your assumption is correct. On the cost front, one of the biggest things which was driving cost was our unit economics, which is a combination of our customer acquisition charges, the kind of discounts and the life cycle cost that we incur, and the cost of delivery. At a broader CM1 marginal contribution, we are almost at break-even for pharmacy, and this is what contributes the biggest. So a big chunk of the cost that you're seeing, cost reduction that you're seeing is coming from there, which is helping us. Over the next two quarters, our pharmacy would be way above the line in terms of unit economics, and therefore we will be in a much better position. On the GMV question that you raised, and this trajectory continues. We continue to keep spending less on marketing. Our customer acquisition is growing at a good, healthy pace of around 200,000 new customers coming to the portfolio, and we are able to retain our customers who come in through our very strong circle program and the constant improvement in service. Specifically on the GMV bit, if you were to notice, our GMV is contributed by three lines of business. The first one, driven by pharmacy. The second, diagnostics. In both these cases, the correlation between GMV, revenue, and margins are very straightforward. However, in the business that we drive for the hospitals, which is the both IPOP business as well as the various consult business, compared to last year, we had a redefinition of how we generate GMV. That's why we have restated some of the GMV numbers. Which we can explain in detail. But what is effectively done is, earlier we used to take the total GMV which was contributed by Apollo 24/7. Incrementally, from this year onwards, we are focusing only on the new customer business that we are generating. That's how our revenue structures are aligned. So for the investors, and the analysts, I would request that we focus a little bit more on the revenue drive as far as hospital is concerned, the hospital IPOP is concerned, both hospital as well as clinics. And for diagnostics and the GMV business will continue. So the restated numbers ensures that we will basically indicate that we have grown on a sequential basis at an 8%, whereas on a year-on-year basis, we have moved on 23%. So it's a simple technical readjustment. The underlying business assumptions remain the same. And from a future perspective, you know, earlier we used to say that 800 to 900 crore of GMV is what will sort of take us to a break-even. That number may be around by another 50 to 100 crores, I would say. Maybe the day we start touching 800 crores, some of these things will start playing out because of this readjustment.
Okay. Just to clarify, you mentioned pharmacy, diagnostic, no change in how you book the numbers, but it's the IPOP, the hospital consult, etc., where there was some adjustment. And now we should look at the incremental delta which will come in this part of the business, right?
Yes. And we have reinstated both last year. When we talk about the growth numbers, we reinstated accordingly. It reflects the growth in a much more stronger manner.
So the reflected number is on like-for-like basis, what we are seeing there?
Yes.
Okay. My second question is, some of the e-com platforms, I believe they have gone very aggressive in last few months in terms of stepping up their presence in not only the OTC wellness products, etc., but on the prescription medicines supplies also. So how do you see competition in this space from some of these e-com players, where I see, I guess, a lot of aggressive push coming in last few months?
I wouldn't say last few months. All this action has started just around from this month onwards, which is two quick commerce players jumping into the prescription business. We will watch. But in my mind, this is actually a better development for the overall industry. Today, the digital part of the business in the markets that we operate in, especially for pharmacy, if I have to take that as a benchmark, operates at around 12 to 15% of the offline pharmacy business. We genuinely believe in some of the, as the market matures, this number should settle at around 25 to 30%. Incremental players coming in with aggressive strategies, my mind will expand the digital market and give greater amount of trials. And here, I think Apollo, given its very strong trust, very strong supply chain capabilities, and the ability to offer always good quality, trusted medicines, should hold on in the long run. We are not going to be in this war for acquiring customers at any cost, but build a much more stronger, sustainable business under the direction of our board.
Sure. And very broadly, this is
market expansion.
Yeah. So this is good for the industry, and you believe you are in a better, or you have winning proposition in this space despite entry of more competition.
Yeah. Our operating model is to build a sustainable model wherein at a unit economics level and growth will happen. And this is where the advantage of having an offline pharmacy of almost 6,500 plus outlets in sync will work much better. So we constantly organize our supply chain network. We believe there is a lot of growth still available in the tier 2 and the tier 3 cities, and we are focusing on that as we go forward, as we walk towards our end-to-end break-even.
Sure. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. The first one on the average revenue per patient growth of 9%. Yaron, if you could provide the growth drivers for this in terms of case mix, payer mix, and price increase, if you can split this 9%.
I'll hand it over to Madhu, our CEO.
Yeah. So if you were to average out the tariff, which is the price mix I think you referred to, the landed effect is probably the 4 to 5% on a year-on-year basis. So the remaining comes from a combination of case mix, primarily on case mix, and most of this has been driven by our CONGO specialty. So by CONGO, we refer to the cardiac, oncology, neuro, and gastro, and orthopedics. They have independently contributed to that delta, especially gastro sciences and orthopedics, which have grown at about 16% and 17% on a revenue basis year on year. Even within the CONGO specialties, when we look at each one of the specialty, the average the average revenue per patient, which is an indication of the severity of the and complexity of the case, that has grown in healthy double-digit numbers across each one of our CONGO specialties.
Sure. So basically half and half is a way to put it.
At least half and half, yes. But on a volume basis, most of our volume growth, almost all of it, I would say, in this quarter has come from the CONGO specialties.
Sure. And more cash as well, right? Which is typically slightly higher in terms of as compared to insurance.
The payer mix growth has been highest in insurance on a volume basis. It's about 7.8, followed by our cash, which has also grown by about 5%.
Sure, sir. Thank you for that clarity. And, ma'am suggested that we will be operationalizing around 700 beds. Is that the correct understanding of the 1,577 beds that we have slated to add this year?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and ma'am, When would the next tranche of, let's say, 800 plus beds would be, shall we expect to be operationalized? FY27. Okay.
Yes.
Sure. And the last clarification from my side on this GMV change. So in Q4, we had guided for revenue to GMV ratio of around 45 to 46% for full year versus 36% in FY25. So now with this redefinition, is there an update to the guidance or that guidance built in the redefinition of the IPOP GMV revenue conversion?
No, I wouldn't change that. I think we can go with more or less that kind of a tracker. Like I told you, we are focused more on the revenues. So the revenues will have been, there is no change in the definition of the revenue. In fact, it will continue to grow. So I wouldn't make any changes there, please. Can continue with that.
And break even, you said 800 to 900 crore revenue.
At a GMV, revenue we should be able to, on the digital side, we will be hovering between 90 to 100 crores. So once we touch that number, that's out. What it told about 800 crores, the GMV, that's a good indicator.
Sure. Thank you and all of us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two each per participant and you may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. Our next question comes from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. The first question on the hospital business, now that the Bangladesh disruption, patient flow disruption is in the base, is it fair to assume that the hospital growth rate, which has been in the 10-11%, will, you know, inch up to the, you know, mid-teens along with the bed expansion? Just trying to understand when we go back to the mid-teen growth that we're used to seeing in the hospital business.
Yes, Neha, it will certainly go up. I think you will see also an improvement in existing assets as well as the addition of new hospitals.
And this is because if I look at the occupancy does not seem to be, you know, showing an improvement. Obviously, we have also seen a decline in ALOS. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, how much of it would be, you know, how will it be reflected in terms of operating metrics of, you know, occupancy? How should I look at that for the existing
network? I think if you look at the existing delivering close to 13-14%, an additional 10% coming over a period of 3 years from the new facilities. Because there's headroom for growth in the existing, so definitely, you know, we can look at 13 to 14 on existing and additional 10% coming from new beds in the next 2 to 3 years.
Understood. And the margins on these, like you had mentioned before, there is still room for margin expansion on the existing network before we, you know, which is off,
yes.
I mean, we'll have losses.
Yes. I think there's room for margin expansion. We have a plan to move it to 25%. And as we look at the losses from new hospitals, total impact over a two-year period could maximum be around 150 crores. And the reason why the impact will be minimal is that we do have huge cash, large cash flows, as opposed to earlier when we did our expansion. So, you know, strong operating cash flows and margins coming from existing and with some losses, but no huge impact on EBITDA.
Understood. And my second question is on, you know, the digital business. What would be the GMV for the full year based on this, you know, rebasing that we have done? And also, if you could give us some color on the new businesses, you know, how they're tracking the app monetization and insurance, how they've been tracking.
Sanjeev, can you give the projected GMV?
Thanks, Nadi. I'll take the first question, you know, which is, so we closed Q1 with 682. We strongly believe that, you know, we should be hitting a number of about 3,000 to 3,200 crore for the full year as far as the new way of looking into the GMV. And this should represent roughly 25 to 30% growth versus the previous year. Thank you.
Thanks for that. So that we will continue to grow at between 25 to 30% growth, and we have seen our first quarter on schedule. There are certain businesses which we are tightening to ensure that our revenues are on the upswing. Specifically on the new businesses, insurance business, which I've spoken to you about, has started taking, getting some legs. For this quarter, we finished with a 5 crore number. As against, we had targeted actually to do around 7 crores. We did 5 crores because some of the technological integrations with the partners are still in process. As this is the first time that we are building it, it's taking a little bit of a time. But a very encouraging sign is that we are getting a reasonably large number of digital customers who are buying very strong products from partners like Niva Bupa and Care and Star Health. We have started off with health. Life and the other two will progress. Various other corporate partnerships, we are working together as a One Apollo story, wherein as one full entity, we are approaching larger corporates to build a much stronger story. The SBI story has started off on the right earnest. We are in very early stages again. It's giving us good quality customers on a repeat basis. We will continue to build on these lines of businesses. The insurance business will continue to take a little bit of more investment, both in terms of people and technology, but we are reasonably confident by the end of the year, it will not take away from our break-even objectives.
And what about the app monetization?
Oh, yeah, touchwood. That's also going as per track. While it might not be on the lines of quick commerce, but given very, very specific, we are working in line with, people with, whether it be the weight loss drugs, some of the other mega pharmacy brands, very strong FMCG brands are a part of the mix. That story is also picking up nicely. So we should be on course for monetization.
Okay, that is helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Just the first one on the hospital business, when you guide for organic growth of about 13 to 14%, we did 11 for this quarter. So just want to understand what should change, is the ARP PP growth going to remain as high, or are you going to see better volume growth in the path forward? And, just if I were to look at your occupancy for this quarter and when I compare to the peers, I know there could be a geographical difference, but it's one of the weaker numbers. So just want to understand for the path forward, how are we looking at even utilization improvement and what help us get back some of the growth? I know you talked about Congo, but maybe still, does it mean we have lesser occupancies when we do more Congo? So I'm just trying to see, is the business model changing?
No, I think that there is a huge focus on volume. We have focused on Congo. I think that we, having a network that is all over India, we will also focus on secondary care, and therefore the volume should improve. As you consider payer mix, I think we are strengthening our alignment with the local markets, as well as with corporates, with PSUs, and hope to see an uplift in international patients coming in the second and third quarter as we found new markets. So all of this should contribute to higher occupancy, which you will see, in the second quarter and continue to grow in third and fourth.
Sam, also I would like to quickly let you know that clearly there has been an uptick in our overall robotic surgeries that we are doing in the system, minimally invasive work, etc., that we have continuously focused on. Which is why if you look at the ALOS is down by 6%, right? Clearly, it's a large number compared to a 3., and that number clearly, versus 3.23 of Q4, we are now at 3.06. Clearly, the ALOS is one of the reasons for the occupancy, which is why the ARPP is good, the margins are good. It gives us headroom for growth also in our existing metros, which is good till the time some of the new hospitals come in. So that's something that we are quite committed to. Volume growth, while you're seeing headline volume as 3%, as we said, insurance and walk-ins are at 5 and 7%. And, 3% is also because of the IPS. If you adjust for the Bangladesh, it would have been at 5%. So clearly, yes, there are reasons for this quarter. But going forward, we should go back into that teen growth is what we have committed to.
And if I can just add to that, add to what Ms. Sunita and Krishnan said, you know, a lot of the occupancy number that you see has been intentional. It's a 6% reduction in length of stay, which is almost like adding 550, 600 beds, right? What this gives us is the extra capacity in our chassis to focus on supply side. So to your question as to where will this volume growth come from is that we have been very closely paying attention to that supply side, which is adding clinical talent. So you will see some of that coming to bear, especially in our micro market, driving that volume growth. So it will be in the high complexity care mostly, but it will be driven by some addition on the supply side.
Yeah, very helpful. Just the second question on AHLL, you know, it's kind of all over the place, if I can use one word, right? We have top line growth, but no EBITDA growth in some, and we have, so it, maybe diagnostics is one I noticed, which is looking odd. Also, I think primary care, and only where we have seen EBITDA margin expansion is specialty. So maybe just a summary on AHLL, please.
Sriram, please take that.
Yeah, hi. So I think, see, our focus has been to drive. We have seen a very good growth on diagnostics on volume. When you look at the diagnostic margin in quarter one, I think I just want to inform that we opened the central reference laboratory in Chennai on 30th April. This is state-of-the-art, fully automated digi lab spread across 45,000 square feet. So we obviously had certain one-off validation cost, which is there on the EBITDA that is baked into quarter one. If I normalize that, my EBITDA margin is about, in diagnostic, is at about 10.3. So that's the number. But obviously, since we went live, there were these one-off costs that typically happens when we go live, which is more for the making the lab live and the controlling calibrations. Having said that, yes, we have seen a good increase in margin on specialty. And even on primary care, there has been a focus to grow revenue, and the margins will come in the coming quarters. We are confident about sustaining these growth rates further as well. Hope that clarifies.
Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. I just want to understand, this is with respect to the 24/7 pharmacy business. There was a strong uptick in terms of the margin, pre-operating cost, 24/7 operating cost with respect to the online pharmacy distribution segment. I just want to understand what drove this strong uptick in terms of margin, and can you give any guidance for Apollo Healthcare from perspective in terms of revenue growth and margin improvement for the next 1-2 years.
Madhi and Sanjeev?
So maybe I can take the first question, ma'am. This is Sanjeev this side. So our margin for the quarter one has been 15.4% versus Q4 of 12%, which is about 340 basis points up. Initially, this is on account of the renegotiated the rates with all the service providers, which is across, diagnostic and on the healthcare services IPOP. Second, also because of the better unit economics on the pharmacy side, the margin rates have been better. Plus, Q1 also saw insurance uptake, which Madhivanan talked about, that in Q1 we had almost 5 crores of insurance, while in Q4 it was roughly 1 to 1.5 crore, and higher upside on the insurance commission also boosted the margin, apart from the fact that the monetization also helped us. So all in all the revenue segments had a better margin profile for Q1 versus Q4, and some total of that is what you're seeing is about 340 bits higher in Q1 versus Q4, sir. Thank you.
And the growth guidance part?
So the GMV of 3,200 that we spoke about, we continue to be on course. Like I told you, in our first quarter, we are very much as per our AOP target. Typically, our new customer acquisition continues both for pharmacy. As far as our diagnostic business is concerned, we are at a new normal. So that business has also picked up. This quarter should be good. So we are on course for our break-even on Q4. I would not want to look beyond that at this point of time. as we look at some of the other lines of businesses.
Okay. And my second question is with respect to the demerger. So currently, under Apollo Healthcare Hospital Enterprises, there are three segments. One is the hospital business. Another one is the Apollo Health Co., which is the pharmacy business. And the third one is AHLL, which is with respect to diagnostics, specialty health, and for primary care. So my understanding is you are demerging the pharmacy business into new entity. Is that correct? And can you also explain how will the merger with Keimed Health be beneficial for the synergy in terms of beneficial? In terms of synergy for the pharmacy business.
That's correct. You know, you're right in your understanding. What will happen is Apollo Health Co., as you are seeing in the current form, is what is going to be, demerged and will be listed separately by Q4 of FY27. By the time it will be listed, the NCLT process of merging Keimed into this business would also have come into play. Clearly we have a pro forma P&L. You can see the pro forma P&L, which has been shared as part of the investor relations as part of the earnings day. You would see that this current year, current quarter, we are at a 4,430 crores of combined revenue, including Keimed. Keimed supplies to 6,000 odd pharmacy stores apart from supplying to Apollo as well. So you will have a combination of a consumer-focused business, which is the entire pharmacy, which we are doing with the 6,500 stores, the online digital, as well as the Keimed business. So all the three will be part of this number. So run rating currently at 17,000 crores of revenue, which is what we have said that by Q4 of next year, FY27, by the time that this will also get listed, we should be run rating at 25,000 crores of revenue with a 7% EBITDA margin. So there are synergies of the Keimed business, which I will allow Adi to chime in.
Thank you.
So, you want me to continue? We're okay.
Yes.
The hospital-based pharmacies continues as part of hospitals, which I'm sure you know, but it's something that, remember, what we are spinning out is only the retail pharmacies and the online out of that.
Okay. Very, very quickly on the synergies. While as the digital business becomes unit economics positive, and with this merger, we actually believe Keimed, besides, being a part of the physical distribution business through us, there are a lot of integration synergies that we believe, whether it be in technology, whether it be in people, whether it be in cost. And what typically e-commerce and quick commerce players build on the dark stores, today we have 22 dark stores. Once Keimed comes into the picture, we have the ability to find more synergies of setting up more economical dark stores across the country. So our expansion beyond the top six cities to the next 10 and to the rest of India can become much more smoother with a greater integration between the two entities. On the product side, we believe our abilities, like somewhere in the results we spoke about a 14.6% for PL and generics, there is a huge scope available to drive that number, not just within the Apollo chain as well as Apollo Digital, but also across the various Keimed franchises. So technology, data, people, and product categories, all the four synergies should start playing out as this merger comes in place.
So my understanding is this demerged entity file...
Sorry to interrupt. Raman, sir, may we request you return to the queue for any follow-up questions? Thank you.
Sure.
Our next question comes from the line of Avinash Barman from Vaikarya. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I just have a question on Keimed. I mean, you mentioned that the HealthCo plus Keimed would reach about 7% EBITDA margin by the end of FY27. And Keimed margins, as I understand, is about 3.2% for the full year of FY25. So I just wanted to know that how much increase in Keimed EBITDA margins are you baking in when you guide for 7% for these overall margins by 4th year FY27?
Sanjeev?
Can I give the answer? Yeah, so it would be roughly 40 basis points, sir. So 3.1 should go up to 3.5%.
Okay, and the levers for this 40 basis point, I mean, is it coming mostly from the gross margins or operating leverage? If you can just
I think majority of this will come through the scale, so that means it will come from the margin side. But we do have the operating cost leverage as well as certain efficiencies that would come in. So that should also there should be some benefit out of from there also.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, 40 basis point improvement in EBIT margin is coming from, you're saying, both gross margins as well as the scale benefits.
That's right.
Okay, thank you. That was my only question. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just one clarification on GMV aspect. So you said there's redefining of GMV and only the new customers to be taken into consideration. So practically, if the same customer is coming for newer indication, then so effectively that will not be counted for GMV. How to think about it?
Correct. I think you hit it right. Just let me give an example. Last Q1, we reported a GMV of 695. That number stands at 553. Is it because roughly 50% of the GMV that we drive for the hospital business is from existing customers, and the balance 50% is from new customers who we bring to the overall Apollo group, either through pharmacy or any other mechanism. Earlier, we used to get the revenue understanding was on the overall basis. Given the new business framework arrangement and the new agreements, our emphasis on maximizing businesses for the new customers, that's why that's the GMV that we're reporting. For the other customers, which is our existing customers, we have a servicing charge, which is much more predictable. So this is the model that we are following. That's why the numbers. So the GMV comes down, but the revenue story remains intact and keeps hopefully growing at what we are projecting.
But then the GMV will comprise any which case both, right? Either you put it as a share or you put it as a new customer.
But for this statement purposes, because we would like to have a direct correlation between the incremental revenue, we have restated it accordingly. So the new one primarily focuses on the new customers.
And only that new customer related share would reach out to HealthCo from Apollo Group, is that?
From a GMV perspective, yes. Revenue is all encompassed.
And that percentage, GMV overall, combining the other aspects of GMV, GMV to revenue ratio is 45% to 46%.
It will slightly, yeah, we can maintain it. That's how we intend to bring down our cost. So we are not making any guidance change in that.
Okay. So secondly, on the offline pharmacy, the margins have been pretty stable at 7.7. Any, while on a long-term basis, increasing private label or let's say the non-pharma product would drive, but anything further to, any scope to further scale up this EBITDA margin?
Obul sir, you want to take that?
This is, at HealthCo level, it operates on a fixed model because we sell to the front-end business on a cost-plus basis. So on a combined basis, it is fixed. This quarter, it is about 25 basis points more than last quarter. So we should see that increase happening with the volume and scale. And one more thing to observe, last two quarters, we are at a stable private label number because of the repositioning of some products and introducing the new product. Now we have a separate head coming as an, to drive that as an initiative. We should see the margin expansion in the coming quarters.
Got it, sir. And just lastly on Apollo 24/7.
Tushar sir, may we request to return to the queue for follow-up question, please?
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the question. This is related to hospital margin. Given that there is an expectation of around 150 crore of losses in the new hospitals put together over the next couple of years, so does the company have enough room to absorb the entire losses? So I'm just trying to understand how to look at the company's overall hospital margins since 26 and 27, whether they can remain stable, can move up or down.
I think with 2,700 crores of absolute EBITDA, 150 crore impact will not be significant. KK, if you want to elaborate.
Yeah, so we are already, as you have seen, the EBITDA of the quarter, we are at 700 crores. We are averaging at 2,800 as we speak. It will only go up from here on. And on that scale of EBITDA of 2,800, having a 100-150 crores EBITDA would not be a big number. And most of these are in existing markets, and we have clear plans and visibility of doctor additions, clinicians that we want to join, we're already targeting, etc. And we will be breaking even in 12 months, as we have said, in most of these locations. So you should see good growth coming, and also, very quick ramp up to double-digit margins after the 12 months also.
Yeah, that I can understand, right? I'm just trying to understand the overall margins in 26 and 27, right? So whether that can remain stable or you're expecting a marginal dip.
It will be a marginal dip, right? 100 basis points marginal dip. But, we will see expansion as Ms. Sunita said. The 24.5% EBITDA margins that we have reported, we hope to take it higher by to 25 or 25 plus number. And from there, you will see a dip of 100 basis points. But, overall growth will be visible after that.
Understood. And second question is related to international markets, right? So first on the Bangladesh patients, so are you expecting any of the patient flow coming back? Or secondly, would you like to highlight which are the other markets, et cetera, that you are working on that can pick up and drive this international patient number? So just try to understand how to grow the international patients.
Sure. No, thank you for the question. So with respect to Bangladesh, the lowest volume was somewhere between November and December to early January. Since then, we've seen some increase in the volume, but it is nowhere clear, close to the volumes that we used to see same time last year. But having said that, the complexity of cases, the sicker patients are coming to us. So if you look at it on a ARPP basis, the value is higher per patient than what we used to see last year. We are actively engaged in that market, and we expect that the numbers will go up. Outside of Bangladesh, we are very closely engaged in the markets in Africa as well as in the Middle East. We also have a strong presence and will continue to develop the markets in the CIS countries. I think the Southeast Asia and further great interest to us. You know that we are partnering with a project in Asia to build a hospital. We are actively engaged in discussions in various countries, including Malaysia, in Brunei, as well as offering services in Philippines. So broadly, these are the markets where we expect to see significant volume through the remaining part of this fiscal year.
I just want to add to that we've developed a new market, which is Iraq, and this is contributing to the growth of international patients with good, healthy margins. Currently, most of these patients are now going to Hyderabad, but there are some also coming to Chennai.
Understood.
Markets, yes.
Yeah, understood. So just last question. So what is the current contribution of international patients in the hospital business?
Currently, it's 5% of revenue. We hope that it will be 7% of revenues by the close of the year, targeting 10% of revenues for the next year.
Thank you, ma'am. That's so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. On the digital business, we're talking about a break-even by the end of 26. In your assessment, on a steady basis, once the business sort of gets into a steady profitability situation, what's the kind of profitability the business can do?
Madhi?
I don't want to hazard a guess. Like you said, given the, at this point of time, our primary focus is to break even and build a sustainable model. We are typically seeing on a month-on-month basis anywhere between 2 to 3% growth. Because like I told you, our operating model does not believe in spending too much money on customer acquisition. And we still have a huge, the industry as a whole, especially the digital side, spends anywhere in the range of 15 to 17% as discounts, which the offline industry does not, which the offline sector does not drive. So that's the second rationalization. The third bit is there is always this challenge of increasing the average order volume
to be in the range of around $1,200, so that the cost of delivery is maintained. So I expect the growth to, on a year-on-year basis, to be in the range of 20 to 25%. Please do not expect astronomical growth. And if this unit economics comes through and we are able to keep our overheads at a constant level, which we are very, very bullish about as the merger plays out, because we will be able to rationalize quite a bit of our costs, then we should be able to continue to grow on a positive basis on the top line on a 25 to 30%, and the revenue will be a little bit more muted at least for one more year. Because we also continuously invest in a lot of digital assets, which we will reinforce ourselves, whether it be our patient health records, whether it be our Ask Apollo, which is our AI component. So I would go a little bit muted on the revenue side, but we will remain profitable.
Second,
sorry, I don't want
to
go to number two. Yeah.
No, that's understandable. Thank you so much. And on the offline business, if you just give us a sense of how many pharmacies do we have and what's the kind of growth rate, annual growth rate addition that we're looking at going forward?
Obul, sir, you want to take it?
We are adding about... Hello?
Go ahead.
We have during the quarter added about 120 stores, and as informed earlier, we are always planned for adding about 600 stores. Revenue growth of 17-18% is something that we can expect with the expansion plans in place.
And sir, over the years, as you planned, is there any specific skew towards such a particular geography that you're looking to build out more versus what it's
the
current network?
We are towards the central region and south. The central region, we have lesser number of stores. We are focusing on that area. And south is always our best bet to go into the next level
zone. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this call. As we close our discussion on Q1 FY26, we are encouraged by the strong start to the year and momentum across our core and emerging businesses. Our integrated healthcare system, spanning hospitals, diagnostics, pharmacies, and digital, continues to deliver balanced growth alongside operational efficiency. Looking ahead, our priorities remain anchored in deepening our leadership in clinical excellence, enhancing operational performance, and capitalizing on new growth opportunities. We appreciate your continued interest and your support, and look forward to updating you in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Apollo Hospitals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.